I'd like to call this meeting to order, the regular board meeting, July 28th at 4 p.m. So if we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Corey, would you be so kind to provide the prayer?
I'd be honored to. Thank you. We'll let Brett get a seat. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather here today as concerned and involved citizens as it relates to the water in our fair community. Father, we pray for guidance and wisdom and kindness as we deliberate and discuss things. We're grateful for the rain that is falling even now and pray for more. And we close this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, at this time, if we could do the roll call. So, Roger, if we could start on your end.
Roger Childers, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Ray Headings, present.
Corey Ellsworth, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
George Burkowski, present.
All righty. I declare we have a quorum, so we will continue with our meeting. I would like to call for a motion to approve the minutes, which you have attached here, for the following meetings: the regular meeting of June 23rd and the July 14th special session meeting that was held. So do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of those two dates.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion or comment on these two? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes approved. Okay, at this time we will go to the reports to the board. So Mr. Paul Hendricks, our WIFA and Program Manager's update.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. Glad to be here today. Like to give you a summary of our report, Whispering Pine Construction Project. We're being scheduled for bidding right now, finalizing the documents, seeking USDA approval for that and Cool Pines A. Yesterday, myself and staff were out walking the projects, reviewing the final set of plans, making some comments on that. We expect the USDA to concur with our documents in the next few weeks, and then we'll schedule a pre-bid and a bidding opportunity and be able to move forward with those first two USDA projects. The great thing about that would be then we get real life costs for pipeline replacement, and then we can finalize our budgets for the next batch of USDA projects and be able to move from estimates to actual numbers. As you all know, during this escalating costs for construction materials and contractors and things, some of the engineers' estimates are well below of what we expect actual prices to be, and it could affect how much work we're actually able to do under this USDA project. We are at a point now of finalizing all of our right of entry access to private properties on the Woodland Heights A, B, and C project. That's a very large project, well over 13,000 feet of 6-inch water line. We think that'll be about a $3 million project. We initially thought that it'd be about a $2.5 million project, just with these price escalations. And we expect bidding in late summer for that, based upon where we're at with the plans and how long it takes us to get those approvals through ADQ and USDA. The Pine Mountain Acres project, We've got the surveys done. We expect bidding in the early fall for that project. And then portals 1, 2, and 3, we're in the process of surveying that property. We've been having specific meetings about the scope of that project. We think early 23 is when that will be ready for bidding. We continue to update information on the GIS system. That's the geographic information system. It tells us from a satellite exactly where part of our pipes and valves and things are. And we started from a theoretical location, and now we're in the process of getting those calibrated. On the next page, there are USDA capital projects. The deep well, we had a pre-bid conference. We have two bidders that are qualified for that. There are other bidders in the world, but they did not come to the mandatory pre-bid conference because this is a specialized drilling. We didn't expect a lot of companies. We did get two very qualified companies that are interested in this project. We'll be issuing clarification on the bid documents, and we expect that we'll do opening of the bids on the 8th of August. We have some, the proposed site, we have some area limitations, and we're now approaching some of the neighboring property owners to see if they would grant us construction easements to be able to have enough work to lay down the pipe and get in and out of the site. So we're optimistic that we'll be able to move forward with that project if we clear all of these specific site issues. We're just pleased, as we indicated last month, that we're able to close out the $8 million WIFA project, getting those projects done and having all that squared away. Interim financing is in place, and we're able to keep going. We have a number of non-USDA projects that we help the district staff with because of our company's background in operation and maintenance, utility management. We basically just indicated to them, while we're here, we're glad to help you and give you advice on utility issues. Inspection and repair of the existing wells. Our goal is to be sure that the district has the means and methods in order to restore operation of their existing wells that they own and any existing wells that are under a water share agreement in order to provide more supply and be able to get out of the moratorium and be able to meet the demands of the community. We've asked a couple of specialists like Geologic and others to give us some advice on what kind of scope of activities they would recommend for restoring flow and capacity from some of these wells that have been taken out of service and have either dried up or plugged up or just not been used for a number of years, and seeing what it would take to bring those back into operation so we have a better supply. We did find over the last several months that under the new regulations, not new, but the latest regulations, in this community there are a number of septic tanks and there are a large number of small wells. Being a public water system, we have to make sure that any well that we develop and that we use isn't too close to an active septic tank. And we are concerned that some of these wells that have been taken out of service are because of potential encroachment. So before we put those back in service, we'd want to make sure that we have cleared any issues like that. So we're working on that. The K2 storage tank is scheduled for rehab. We now are looking at 2 weeks into September or after Labor Day when the water demand goes down so that we can still meet the requirements in that area without that water storage tank. That tank will be down a couple of months for a company to come in, clean it out, sandblast it, recoat it, repair any rust or damage in it. if you do that, if you do an inspection every few years and do a mitigating repair like this, you can extend the life of the tank for another 10 years, and you can actually help these tanks basically go on and on if you keep them properly coated and don't have corrosion on them. We did have a meeting, as we indicated in our last board meeting, with SRP, and have asked them to provide some documentation for the board to evaluate regarding what the potential terms and conditions would be of an agreement under which Pine Strawberry Water Improvement District could entertain getting some of that water. The cost for that water would be very high compared to just drilling another well here, but it is a different source, and we think that from a legacy standpoint, maybe not for this generation or maybe even the next generation, but from a legacy standpoint, it's incumbent upon us to help look at long-term and diverse kinds of water supplies. So we're under a non-disclosure agreement with SRP, so that'll be serious discussions, but no decisions will be made until we fully understand the benefit and implications of it. But we want to be fully informed as to what that option would be. As you know, Payson entered into an agreement for the CC Cragen water, and that's a major supply for them. It was also a very major investment. When we took a look at the projects up in Cool Pines to finish that, we've already done Cool Pines B and C, and this Cool Pines A would finish up that area in the Whispering Pines, looking at that. Those projects are going to have a number of field issues that we have to mitigate, going across drainages and really dealing with other conflicting utilities. And so we spent quite a bit of time with the district staff on that to get that information included in the bid documents. One of the things we have to do with the USDA projects is we have to go out with a sealed bid, a hard bid, and so our engineers have to have the best information possible to put into the documents so that the contractor knows as accurate as possible what the work is. Otherwise, when they come in, they say, well, the drawing didn't say I had to go here, and therefore it's different, so we'd be subject to change orders and escalating prices. And so what we want to do is be as accurate and complete as we can, and so we're spending extra time to get that that level of precision in the documents. With that, I would entertain any questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Finance Manager's Report. Sharon?
Okay, the $5.03 million loan with USDA closed on June 27th as scheduled. PNC Bank loan is paid off in full. The remaining funds are available for disbursements of expenses by the district on the USDA program. The WIFA funding from 2018 has been completed and closed with $73,480.40 deobligated back to WIPA. We were short on spending. So disbursement number 13 for the design loan was in June, and those funds have been received and paid, the payments made. The new WIPA construction loan for $17.5 million was approved and documents were received. We expect to start construction on the fall on those projects. Maintenance connections, field staff has requested we contact maintenance connection to find out if the district's database is still available, and I received confirmation that it is available. We received a quote to begin using this program for the maintenance of all districts' assets, and the quote is on the agenda tonight for board approval.
Any questions for Sharon? Okay, at this time we will go to the treasurer's report. George? George, you're up.
You're talking to the mute button, George?
Okay, well, we'll see if George gets off mute. We'll go to the secretary's report. Larry?
None.
Mr. Steve Wayne, he's our new attorney here for the district. Steve, have you got anything to report on?
Sure. First and foremost, I don't know if everybody's met me, at least in person. This is what I look like. Glad to hear everybody ready to participate. Can everybody hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
All right, great. I've got four things that I'll report on, and I don't yet have a feel for how detailed of a report you want. As a lawyer, when it comes to reporting, I kind of keep it high level, because normally you don't want to get into the weeds of legal issues in an open meeting. If we have a specific discussion item, we can do that, but you know, otherwise it's usually, you know, at a discussion point or in an executive session. But I participated in the CC craving discussions with SRP. As everybody knows, those are confidential, so we can't talk about those. The other issues we've talked about, looked at, looked at some service issues that relate to, you know, setting meters and the moratorium on new meters. I've learned a little bit about that history. There's going to be a lot of history on that, I'm very sure. But that's going to be kind of learning, and I think I'm very glad that the rain is coming and it's helping to replenish the aquifer. But the way I understand your moratorium, we're looking at a long-term issue, not a short-term issue. So I'll need to discover more on that as we go forward. As you're aware, I want to compliment the chair for his work on the manager resignation. Had some communications with him, handled well, things were done well. I really appreciate that. Makes my job easier when people talk to me ahead of time, have rational plans, and you know, all I do is, the greatest part of my job is to tell my client, yep, you're right, that's how you do it. So glad to know that happened. Finally, and I'll go into a little bit more detail on this, as you're all well aware, Marvin Lofelty is your lead hydrologist on the deep well work. Marvin and I go back 20 years. He reminded me one time when we first met, I deposed him, which he laughed about and we laughed about, because, you know, it was, you know, when you first meet your person, you're on the opposite end, it sometimes gets a little testy. It wasn't with us, but it's always uncomfortable for the hydrologist when they're cross-examined by the attorney. But since then, we probably worked on five or six projects. And we have a very good relationship. And what I can tell you is I have good confidence in what Marvin is doing. And I'm very happy to report that, because I can't tell you how many times I've come into projects and you know, I have a conversation with the hydrologist and I'm kind of looking at them sideways saying, why are we doing that, or what's happening? You know, Marvin, in the explanation that I got from Marvin, it made a lot of sense, and what he was doing and how. Now, you know, he's very risk adverse when it comes to hydrology, and we want to, and that's smart, because you don't want to drill a $2 million hole in the ground that doesn't produce water. So there's a lot of factors there that over time I'm sure we'll discuss and we'll get a little bit more into. But you know, from all the information that I've got right now, things seem to be on the right track. Of course, costs are going through the roof on all of these projects, which I'm sure you guys have discussed multiple times. But you know, as far as thinking strategically and what we should be doing and the facts on the ground, it seems to be reasonable. So I know we don't get questions, but that's my report, and I will work with the chair to figure out how much detail you want in these reports moving forward, but I appreciate your time.
That was very good detail, about the detail that I would expect, so thank you. And I guess at this time, if we could just go down to...
Don't worry about a microphone, you got to be careful, okay? I'm just going to tell you.
And again, just to take this opportunity, Roger, if we could just start, you could introduce yourself to Sting. He again is our new legal counsel.
Yeah, hi, Sid. I've been on the board about almost 2 years now, I guess, isn't it? So I look forward to working with you. Previously, I was in semiconductor sales and marketing and some engineering. And look forward to meeting you.
Okay. Larry?
I'm Larry Bagshaw. I've been on the board for 9 years. I'm a past petroleum geologist, so I'll be working with you on water issues. What more can I say?
He's our AMA guy who will be further exploring that topic. So,
got it.
All righty. Corey?
Corey Ellsworth, been on the board for just a reasonably short time. Always my parents and then I had a place up here. I live in the valley full time, but we're up here as much as we can, and background in finance primarily.
Good background.
Sharon Hillman, you know, we have talked.
Yes.
And myself. So, and George is on the phone. So, George, are you there yet?
No, he's still muted.
Still muted. Okay. And then Tom Reske, you've met him. He's on vacation for a month. So, he'll be back. But thank you, Steve. And very good report. So, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, my report, as far as external communications, I was in contact with Veronica Hermosilla. She's the water hydrologist with Cobra Valley Watershed Partnership, exploring with her watersheds. I was looking at some different suggestions for water conservation, maybe some funding or maybe some subsidized costs for maybe some low flow toilets, those types of things. She was going to join us for the community meeting, the festival that we had, but wasn't able to make it over. So George has kind of been the contact with Veronica to try to see what's available out there for us and what information she can provide us. Chris Ray, who was on earlier for our study session, she had to leave, but she's from our Water Enhancement Committee. And she's gonna be spearheading grant requests, political contacts to acquire some more information on some of the infrastructure monies and grants. And unfortunately, Sharon was on a call with her last week. We don't have the ability to do a 50-50 match on a lot of the grants that are available. We're about borrowed out. As you heard earlier, we have a $25 million loan through USDA. So unfortunately, we can't go after monies or grants where they're offering, you put up 50, we'll put up 50. So at this point, we're basically looking for free money, and that's much more difficult. So we continue to see what's out there and what's available. I also reached out to Michelle Ralston, who happens to be here today. She is the Northern Arizona Outreach and Constituent Services Representative to Mark Kelly. And I was really checking with her because one of our last festivals, it was actually our big meeting, community meeting that we had up at the LDS Church, and was looking to see if we could maybe get some funding for a leak flyover and kind of where we were. In fact, we're pursuing a company right now called Astera, who did a big project. They're based out of San Diego, who shared a presentation with us on two flyovers that they did in Garland, Texas, and has gotten the leak rate down to around 10%. So we're excited with that. In fact, it's going to be a board item today that we possibly look to approve some funding to do a flyover too. But again, if you have any monies available, we would certainly, I have both hands up. We would be more than welcome to take any dollars that you have to assist us with that. We're also going to be looking at the local water districts, including Payson. Hunter Tanner, or Tanner Hunter, showed some interest in possibly sharing some of the cost. It's a rather big radius that they could do, and maybe if we threw Payson in with the flyover, we could share some of the cost. So if it does get approved this evening, we will reach out to some of the other water districts around and see if there's interest in them being included in the flyover. So, I mean, these other ones right across the street are going to be close. They're going to be in the flyover, but you know, we'd certainly would like to have them participate. And you know, I'm speaking financial participation, and then they could, we could share in the results that what's found. So didn't know you were coming today, Michelle, so thank you for attending. As far as support services, as Steve has said, Tom went out for search for law firms. We did select Moe's, Sellers, and Hendricks, and Steve Ween is representing them as our legal counsel. Very happy to have him. A lot of water experience, which we did not have prior to him coming on board. So he's been quite helpful in this short time that he's been with us, and look forward to working with him. As far as engineering planning meetings, I attend all those, so today has been a long day. I think 8:15 this morning we've started, and again, talking about a lot of what we're doing on replacement of our water lines and so forth. Paul Hendricks has agreed, when we had the resignation of our general manager, to be the operator of record until such time that we hire a new field operations manager. And I have a good word, we do have a new field operations manager starting on Monday, August 1st. A former employee here who is looking to get back up here to the Pine Strawberry Payson area accepted the job and will be here on the job August 1st. So very excited. So maybe I can relieve myself of some of my duties that have been involved while we've been shorthanded here. I mean, the pay is great, which, you know, is zero. So I'll be more than happy to give some of that payback. We've also talked about and have had discussions on power outages. This last power outage, as you know, we had a local strawberry home burned to the ground from the power surge that occurred when the power came back on. We also had a number of pumps and motors that burnt up from the surge when they came back on. So right now we're looking at, with APS and some qualified electricians, as to how we can protect our wells. Our wells seem to have survived, but it's a lot of our water share agreements that suffered because we don't have some of that protection in those. And our variable frequency drives, is that the answer? Is that the best way to provide the protection? So we're looking at that. We've also contacted ASP as far as filing a claim for the damage that we incurred. You know, I know they got two fried crows out of it, but we got nothing. All we got was this 5-hour power outage. So looking to get something there. So we're pursuing that. We're also putting together a list. In fact, we have a list of wells that has been developed for not only deepening, but also I found a new term today Larry shared with us, cloning or twinning, where we perhaps go next to a well and dig it deeper as opposed to going into an existing well. My understanding is the casings are small in the current wells that we have that we'd like to deepen, and there's difficulty getting in to put a larger diameter pipe into those. So better method may be to go next to it and then drill deeper. So we're continuing to explore that. We did have a meeting with KP Ventures from Camp Verde, who's shown interest in this activity. They're very excited about helping us with that project. And again, more source water, get us out of the moratorium. That's one of my main goals here. You know, getting leaks, detecting them, fixing them, and finding more wells, either through well purchase, more well shares, but ideally through well purchase, and then cloning or twinning wells. We also are proceeding and getting more information on the deep well in Strawberry. Unfortunately, we had a little bit of a setback in that the laydown area for the K2 site that we were looking at has very limited space. Also, entry into that area that's behind the pie bar, if you're not familiar, off the 87, down that little hill and a sharp turn, would require removal of trees, raising of power lines, and probably destruction of the roadway right there, bringing the heavy equipment in due to the type of drilling that we would have to do. So we're looking at that. We did visit with the homeowner today. Our field guys did. Gonna probably schedule a meeting next week with them to see if he could offer up some construction area where we could temporarily use for some lay down of the pipe, because right now there's just not enough room for the type of drilling that we would be doing, the dual rotary drill. As far as training, the staff continues.
Caller 2 and 3, could you mute your microphones, please?
Okay, perhaps that helped. Yeah, we've been getting some feedback. No? Caller 2 and caller 3? If you can mute, please.
It may be the same caller 2.
Caller 3, I think, is the one that's letting us know then.
Okay. Okay, as far as training, you know, the staff continues to study and prepare for certifications. One of the things that we did look at is that ADEQ, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, only requires our district to have a grade 3 water distribution certification. So at this time, since this is the only certification required, this will be the only certification that we're going to reimburse and to be recognized by the district for an increase in pay, because we have a policy in place that once certifications are achieved, we give a bump in the hourly rate because we're appreciative, you know, of that further education. There is or was some confusion regarding certifications, and I'm going to provide the following definition. Despite the similarities in certifications and certificates, they're not the same. Basically, certifications are awarded by professional associations. They are standardized credentials that are intended to certify someone for work in a particular industry. Certifications may include both education and exam requirements. Certificates take anywhere from a couple of months to a couple of years to complete. So the only certificates that's going to be recognized by the district will be water distribution certificates, undergraduate and graduate diplomas from recognized colleges and universities. We had a misunderstanding where someone could take an hour course and receive a certification, and really not the true definition of certification. And we didn't feel that the public should be paying for an increase in one's wage because someone sits and takes an hour course. So wanted to get that clarification out. Now I think everyone is clear on the definition of what that is. So going forward, it'll only be those types of certificates that we're looking to reimburse, and certainly to encourage our, you know, folks to get up to a grade 3 water distribution, because that's what's required here to run the district. And our new hire starting on Monday does have his grade 3 water distribution. So we will be able to take Paul off the ranks and put our new manager into that role. So that's all I have. Any questions? Yes.
I have one. Talking about definitions, could you define leak flyover?
What, yes. It's a company, it's called Estera, and there's a company out of San Diego where they fly a plane, helicopter, or some type of air transportation over and actually shoot it with, is it radar?
Yes.
They radar and shoot it, and it can penetrate 10 foot into the ground. And it actually picks up leaks. And the first flyover, you know, it probably only pick up about 30%. And I question, why just 30? Why can't it pick up everything? But I guess a second flyover then would pick up much more. And the city of Garland, Texas has done 3 of these flyovers, and they're now down to 10% leak rate. which is just amazing. If we could get ours down to that, we'd be in a much better position to have more water source, because right now we're watering the elk.
So, right. So what's the difference between the first flyover and the small percentage of the second flyover and the greater?
Well, the first flyover, they claim they can only get about 30% of the leaks.
Yeah.
That's all they could detect. So at some point in time, after that first flyover, they evaluate, they spend time here with us at the site. You know, we've gotten prices. Sharon has done a pretty good job negotiating with them on what it would cost. Then the second flyover would pick up an additional, 20 to 25% more.
Yeah, so my question is why can they not pick up the more on the first?
See, that was my question. I don't know that.
Didn't they say they have to tune the equipment?
Yes.
I think they have.
Ray, can I comment on that?
Oh, you're off mute. You missed your treasurer's report, George.
I'm very, very, very sorry. I had someone come to the front door. I had to address it. I couldn't.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I didn't even have time to tell anybody.
Yes, you may.
Go ahead. When you look at that radar, look at it like an MRI. They have to go over and adjust the level intensities of what they're looking at so they can tell what is real and what isn't. So they can probably see major leaks with the first one, but then they increase the intensity and depth to allow more discerning of what type of water it is and stuff. So that's probably why they don't pick up as much the first time.
And I think the second also, I heard kind of groupings. It will go then and identify groups. So yeah, that's good way to define it, George. I didn't think of it as that. So thank you. Thank you for the question. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Okay, well, at this time, we will go to any comments from the public. So if you have anything, you know, there's the blue card in the back. If you would fill one of those out on the table on the other side of that monitor and write your question on there, and if you would turn it into us.
Did you want to go to George on the
treasurer? Yeah, George, do you want to cover your treasurer's report since we missed it?
I'll just do a real quick comment on it. All the financial documentation was completed. The budget for operations was under budget for year 2022. It's basically because we didn't use all the capital money that we anticipated to use to do well upgrades and stuff, which we will probably try to use this coming year. Other than that, I think we're going to put in some controls around cost analysis on capital equipment, so we make sure on any large capital purchase we make that we know the cost benefit to the Pine Strawberry Water Improvement District, and that we know that it's a good idea to buy it or not, basically. So that's all I really have.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. Yeah, for example, we just purchased a road cutting piece of machinery. It's a walk behind. And I think after we cut 1,000 feet, it's paid for itself for what we've been paying to get the roads cut. So, you know, that's the stuff that makes sense when you go to purchase something. If it were a 5 or 10 year payback, no, the piece of equipment would be wore out by the time we receive the payback. So it's those kinds of things that we're able to look at and analyze before we determine to buy something. Yes. All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Pam Mason.
Yes, Pam.
Can I make a comment, please?
Certainly.
Sure.
I know you can't answer, but I was talking to Chris Ray the other day, and we were bemoaning the fact that the public don't always understand what's going on and what PSWID have accomplished. And I know you're all maxed out, and we appreciate the board very, very much. But it would be nice if you could toot your own horn a little more as to actually what you have accomplished and what Paul Hendricks has advised today, and the closing out of the WIF loan, and the fact that you have a lot of work scheduled out over numerous years. And not everybody reads Facebook or Nextdoor, and I have no idea how much it would cost for you to maybe put one page, a listing of bullets of what you have accomplished. I mean, I'm sure there's a cost associated with putting it in water bills and so on, but when you have time, I would like, if you could, to contemplate other ways of getting your success out to the public and what is planned for the future. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that, and I remember us having the discussion where both you and Chris have praised us for the amount of work we do and said you really need to have a way to advertise that, because you certainly don't think, and I agree, that the general public does not have a clue of the amount of work and effort that goes into what we do and the improvements that we're trying to make here for the district. So, yeah, I know, you know, social media gets a lot of attention, and maybe, I think Chris sent me a note earlier telling me she couldn't make it here, but a monthly newsletter maybe that's just put together with bullets of activities that we're involved in and what we've accomplished. But again, I mean, we post all this stuff on our website. Even the recordings of today's meetings are posted. But I know some don't want to bother with that. I know they love social media with back, or I call it back door, I guess it's next door. And sometimes it feels like a back door. And certainly Facebook. I see some stuff out on Facebook, but a lot of negativity out there too, unfortunately. I don't participate, I read it, but I never partake in that. But yes, we'll certainly look into that, and would love, Pam, to have further discussions and conversations with you regarding that.
And based on that, I'll do up a spreadsheet of all of the WIFA projects that we did and have it published on the website as an announcement. This program is completed. This is all the district accomplished with this $8 million. Here's a list of everything that's done. And I do post that stuff every month. It is in the treasurer's report, but I will make a special one for that.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you, Pam.
On that note, it would be very simple to copy the link up at the top of where it shows that information and just post it on Nextdoor's, the link. You know, see what we've done.
Oh, that's true.
And the link is very easy to do that, and then they can click on it, go to the website, and see all that stuff.
Yeah, maybe I can get my eight-year-old granddaughter to help me with that. Some of us, particularly myself, you know, a little technically challenged because didn't have those when I grew up and went through school, but do my best. Okay, Shara, you have a request to speak?
Yes, sir. So I'm Shara Cassie. Many of you already know me. I had some homeowners, citizens from the portal reach out regarding the Lavender Farms rezoning. And so my question is, was PSWID contacted about that rezoning? Was there a conversation about water issues? And if there is an impact in water due to the rezoning, what is the impact?
Larry?
Short answer is the county never contacts us at all about rezoning. As for PSWID impact, we have none, because that particular development is going to be on what I call a pioneer system. So it's their problem, but it's also our problem, because anybody that's using water from our same aquifer is a problem. And I've reached out and recommended to the board that we pursue an AMA, which is an active management area, which if we do it, and I have no information at all on what that would involve or how much it would cost, but that would put us in control of our water. And that's what I would like to see us do, is have us control of our water, so we can't have developers, the county, and all of these other people telling us what to do with the water.
Okay,
so directly they don't receive any of their water from PSWID, but indirectly could possibly likely affect.
Indirectly, they are affecting our aquifer to some extent. So.
Okay.
As some often said, another straw in the aquifer.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
So it's.
Excuse me, I just wanted to make a connection. They're not on the Pioneer Water. They're on PSWID up Pine Creek Road.
Well.
They do have access to the creek behind them that I understand they water all their plants, the lavender, with all of that water. It says so right on their website that they use the direct creek there. But they're actually in our district and not in the other old Pioneer one. Pioneer's just on E7.
Well, I'm not sure what their rezoning involves. But as the Lavender Farm right now is on PSWID.
Yes.
But they were talking about buying property behind them, which is on the Pioneer system. Which I don't know whether that's part of the rezoning. I would suspect that's what they are eventually planning on.
Do you feel the county should have reached out to PSWID?
I definitely think so.
They're only required to reach out to a certain amount of people around the area that's being rezoned within like 300 feet.
But if they have water,
they don't go beyond that.
Yeah. But I don't think they go 300 feet deep.
But we're talking our water district, so we should be notified.
Yep, well, thank you. Any others from the public? Okay. As far as old business, we talked about discussing and taking possible action regarding the siting of the deep well, the Strawberry, and cloning current wells. I think we kind of already discussed that today in the study session. We discussed it. I touched on it on my chairman's report. At this point, you know, we're no closer to make any final determination. I mean, we are pursuing the deep well, but now a possible setback and have to see how we're gonna go forward with that. But we have to stay within the same zone if we do enlarge the area to go elsewhere. So that's in regard to any old business. As far as new business, Sharon, take possible action regarding the Astera program.
Yes, we covered this in the study session, but basically, it's an SAR satellite imagery analysis from underground water leaks. The flyover will go down about 10 feet in the ground. The issue that we currently have is we can only find surface leaks and repair those. This will give us a mapping of all of the leaks that are underground. They'll be marked on a map for us to go to. They will, in either case, if we pick option one, they will send a crew of their people for 5 days out here to work with the district staff. And if we went with option two, they give you get 10 days because you get five in each segment. You get five in each segment for 10 days of helping them. And it is, if you look at this proposal, it really does tell you everything that they can get in the first flyover. And then in the second flyover, they can get what are called clusters of leaks. They don't get that in the first one. I guess it's with the way George explained it as to how they're doing the flyovers with more intensity on the second one than on the first one. So there's a map in here, and this is the area that they would be flying over, which does include these other they're excluding the other water districts that are within this map. Technically, Solitude Trails, their water is delivered through the district's water lines. They don't have their water lines. So they have their well, but they don't have their own water lines. They're ours. So we discussed this in the study session. We discussed it last year. It says these clusters of leaks can be used for asset management planning purposes, capital improvement replacement planning. So when they find larger areas, it's most likely going to have to be a capital improvement by the district to fix that whole area. Where the individual leaks or the smaller leaks, we can fix readily, but clusters of them, we have to go through the whole process. We have capital funding to do that the next few years because of the way the funding with USDA is. We got the first loan, but we only pay interest on it for the first 2 years. So there's no principal due. Our other debt is paid off, so we don't have that we have to pay on. So we've moved that money into capital improvements money for the next 2 or 3 years. We'll be able to do it. That's why we're talking about doing, repairing wells and doing everything that we can to get more water source and reduce our losses. We're at a 30% loss of water for last fiscal year. It's down from 40% a couple years ago. But that's because of the waterline projects that we've replaced. So the more of those we do, that will also help with the water loss.
So as far as package price, you know, Sharon did a good job negotiating with them and got a package price for option A, which would be one system scan of $27,000. If we chose option B, this would be a annual full system scan, so this would be two scans at a cost of $54,000. When we, in our study session, we discussed the possibility of, if we were initially only to go with option A, could we have option B available, or maybe the second flyover to charge us only $27,000 total? So, you know, depending on what shows up on the first scan. So Sharon's going to get back with them to just see if that's a possibility. But I guess at this point, Sharon, I guess, do we have any further questions on it?
For the public's information, for remote sensing, this is a very good price. It's about half of what I would expect it to be. So option B is $54,000. I was with a little company that authorized remote sensing and it cost us $100,000. So this is a really good price.
I think they're excited to maybe come out to this area, maybe with our terrain and everything, much different than Garland, Texas, being all flat. Mm-hmm. I lived in Oklahoma for a while and we used to go down to Garland to play soccer with my children. And yeah, whole different terrain up here. So I think they're maybe a little anxious to kind of try it out and see how it might work, and probably part of the reason for their reduced rates to us and to get us as a customer. So there are no more questions. Anyone online have any questions?
Yes, it's me again.
Yes, Pam.
Forgive me for being naive. I mean, this sounds excellent. My question is, because our infrastructure records are lacking in detail through no fault of PSWID, when you're doing this mapping, does it actually pick up the infrastructure that exists now? In other words, to facilitate some clarity as to how the infrastructure, you know, where it goes and so on and so forth?
I'm thinking, as opposed to looking at the infrastructure, they're going to more be looking for the leakage. So it's going to pick up the water leak.
I understand, and it's necessary. I just wondered, if, as part of it, does it pick up other things when it's scanning?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that'll be a good question.
Can I try that, Frank?
Yes, George.
I think I know what you're saying. You would have to put a you'd have to use our current modeling tool to overlay the GIS information, or the information on where the pipes are versus where they see the water leaks. That's one thing. Yes, they're going to have to do that. And I think we've updated a lot of that where it's more accurate now than it ever has been. The frequency, I believe it or not, my background is in airborne weather radar, so I have a little background on this. The frequency you use when you're scanning anything has the determination of what type of reflection you're going to get. For instance, when you're looking at radar in the air, they use 9345 megahertz. The reason why they use that is because at that frequency, when it hits a water drop, it totally reflects back. So they get a rebound from the signal, and they can tell there's water there. And then they can do other things when it comes to airborne from weather radar, where they can determine, you know, if there's movement and that sort of stuff. Just like in your microwave, the frequency they use, it's the same type of technology, but the frequency gets absorbed by the water, and therefore it heats the water up. Well, my guess is they're using a frequency that is discriminates for a certain amount of water, so they're looking for a certain type of reflection. And the reason why they have to do, they get more accuracy as they go over it several times, is they're able to adjust the intensity of that frequency and determine, you know, is it just a surface water thing? Is it more of a groundwater thing? They probably start with a baseline and then slowly adjust it up and down to determine the groupings and the intensities of the water leak. So I don't know if that helps or if I got too technical, but you're right. They will have to go and look at our current pipes and where they're mapped, and then overlay that onto the where they detect the water. But I do think a lot of that is more up to date now that we've done a little more modeling of the system. But if anybody else want to comment on that, I'll shut up.
And hopefully, Pam, maybe they'll find water pipes that we've never found before.
Well, that was kind of what my thought was. And,
yes.
And thank you, George. I understand. I was involved with RF and microwave, so it all makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam, for the question. And thank you, George, for the response. Anything else on that? And Sharon, are we ready to make a recommendation?
Well, I make a motion that we approve the SAR service for option two to do the biannual.
I second that.
Any further discussion on it?
The only question I have is, are we approving the money, or are we just, because I mean, we still have a few questions and we still want to get some clarification before we
We're approving the money.
We're approving the money, and then I'll deal with them to see if I can do better.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like we still need to get some more information on that too.
I would recommend that you go to their website and look at some of their webinars that they have, where they show exactly how they do it.
Mm-hmm. Because this is the first time I really.
Yeah, because we did the webinar, and it was pretty impressive as to what they can do and the finished product that they can give you to work with to find the leaks in your system that are not surface leaks.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, is there any way we can meet with them one more time? I kind of have the same issues. Because you know, anything you put on a webinar, you put on a board, it's advertising. Of course, it's going to look great. I mean, that's what they do it for. So, but I do believe, after talking to Paul, that we should negotiate if we can get more out of this. If we truly are, you know, a different type of terrain, and we're there to learn stuff from us too, we should negotiate a little more before we just approve the money to be spent. Not that I'm against it, but. I'm kind of with Roger there. I'm still on the fence.
Well, technically, the webinar was based on the town in Texas, and it was the staff from the town that worked with the Astera people that technically put on the program. And then Astera was just there to answer questions and details, but they put on the presentation as to how it benefited the town, showed us all the stuff and that type of stuff for doing it. Now, they're a town of 12,000 people, so, you know, much bigger than we are, and of course it is flat.
Yeah, it's not apples to apples, exactly.
True, very true.
Well, maybe what I would suggest is that for those still with questions, visit the site, attend one of their webinars, they offer them frequently, look at their website, Sharon will get back to them. And by the way, the price that's being offered, Sharon, what is the going price?
Well, the last year it was
$40,000. And, you know, she's negotiated down to $27,000. So pretty good deal. And then the only downside of this would be, I don't want it to go another month. I mean, I think we've waited long enough, frankly. So what I would do is I would ask for those who are still concerned to visit the website, call yourself, ask the questions, you board members, and we would then call a special meeting. And I know as much as y'all don't like meetings and to take time out of your personal schedule, I would then like to call a meeting between now and the next month's meeting to move ahead with this or not, so to get a decision on it. So at this time.
Well, what would you suggest is we could approve it based on further information.
I would be okay with that, Chair.
And I could check the site, you know, and I could just send an email and just say.
Email, say it's okay with us or whatever.
Okay, that works.
So do we want to take a vote of the members who are in favor of it now and then wait to hear from the others? Well, Steve, how do we do that?
Well, you just need to vote for
it. Well, I think what you're, thank you. So I think what you're trying to get at is a conditional approval subject to final authorization. So what the motion's basically going to do is authorize somebody, not direct them, but authorize somebody to enter into the contract. Now that person, you know, whoever you're authorizing is going to probably listen to the board members and could delay it for 30 days until the next board meeting if they deem that appropriate. Does that make sense? So what you're doing is you're authorizing somebody to enter into the contract. But of course, as pursuant to these discussions, if you know, they may want to not authorize it if, you know, and enter into it if people have got some serious questions still. So giving them the power, not directing them to do it, is kind of what I'm hearing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. So what's the motion then?
I think we're just authorizing the funding at this point. We're not authorizing anyone to enter into an agreement. We're authorizing the funding for it if it turns out to be what we really want to do in a later discussion.
Yeah, and that's not a problem. You can authorize the fund for it. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to enter into the contract.
Right.
So, yeah, that's
right.
Very good. So I guess the motion would be, do we have a motion to enter into the funding?
Yes.
And agree, and then later, once we have further questions, as to agree to sign the contract. So right. All in favor to do that?
I'm
aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Sharon, if you will proceed with that, get our questions answered, and then we'll further discuss to approve it. Thank you. Okay, the next topic is to take possible action regarding the use of maintenance connection for maintaining our system. Sharon?
Yes, we had this in the study session as well. The district's maintenance records were on maintenance connection at the time with the contract with CH2M, who was canceled in 2017. They provided the district with the database of these records for continued use for maintenance. However, the contract was canceled due to rising costs and replaced with a system that turned out to be more expensive and not useful to the field staff. We contacted Maintenance Connection at the field staff's request, and they provided us with this updated proposal. Apparently, the district had three professional licenses previously, increasing the price along with several field licenses. It's been determined that one Maintenance Connection professional license and three Maintenance Connection field licenses on tablets would be sufficient for the staff to maintain the system. The charge is listed under the one-time fees for the for training and is only billed when used. Therefore, the cost would be $5,395 and renewed annually with possibly a slight increase. He confirmed with me today that they still do have our database, so it's going to be very easy to get us connected again so the staff can use it. What this software does is it has all of the booster pumps, the wells, everything that we have is in it because the management company that used to be here built the system, built all of our stuff into it. So it will send up, it will send them notices. This needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. They can go out in the field, they can access on a tablet, and when they've finished it, they can put in there that it's been completed and the date that it was completed, and it will update the system that's in here. And I was told for a long time that they didn't use it, but I've recently found that they did use it, they did like it, and they did not like the one that was to replace it, and wouldn't use it, so we also canceled that.
And when I was interviewing our new field operations manager, one of his first questions was, do y'all still have maintenance connection? And I said, no, we don't. Oh, that's too bad, because that's really a good system. And I said, but we are looking to reinstate it. So he was excited to hear that too. So he's someone very familiar with it, and I think we can hit the road running once we get this system reinstated. And it was nice to hear that they had our old stuff. They weren't for sure with the amount of time that lapsed.
Yeah.
Sometimes they dumped that out of their database, but fortunately they still had it, so it'll be an easy transition over into it. Corey?
Question is, I assume that as of the date it was canceled, it was not further updated. How far out of date is it, and how do we get it up to date?
It was canceled January of 2021.
Oh, not very long ago.
No.
Yeah. But there is an opportunity to look at it and go, well, but since we've added four boosters. And
yes.
Right? And that's a doable, easily?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's all Excel spreadsheet template, and that's how it works.
And particularly with the new manager's understanding of it, I think it'll be really easy for him to, and that's going to be one of his tasks that I have down on my list of first activities to be involved in his first week on the job.
He knows that he'll advocate it, make sure people use it.
Yes, he will.
It seems like a smart thing.
And it was. We talked to the field, and they liked the system.
Yeah.
So it was unfortunate that we did give it up.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was it was over $10,000, and the reason it was because there were three administrative licenses that you don't need. You only need to have one administrative license, and then the field, it's all in the cloud, and then the field ones that they can have on the tablet. And they said this was sufficient for them to do what they wanted to do.
Okay, any further discussions on it? So, Sharon, do you have a recommendation?
I'd make a motion to approve the current maintenance connection proposal with a cost of $5,395 for the first year.
Second that.
And second, yes. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
No opposition? Approved. Sharon, let's get this going. Thank you. Thank you for your work too on that.
You're welcome.
Researching it.
I feel like this board meeting was just
for me. Yes, it was. Sharon. The next item, please.
I'm not counting those anymore.
One more item, right?
Yep.
Yep, sure.
Yeah. Okay, we went out to get JOC contractors for well servicing, deepening, drilling, and development. And KP Ventures Well Drilling and Pump LLC and Weber Water Resources LLC responded to the district's request for JOC contractors for well servicing, deepening, drilling, and development. The district would like to award JOC contract to respondents for task order work with the district's projects. These contracts now require board approval.
So this is just adding to the list of authorized?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you use task orders to issue work to the...
And I was president, with the KP Ventures when they came in, and very impressed with his interest and desire to services.
So good things can come out of Camp Verde, is that what you're saying?
I guess so.
They're in cotton.
Oh, they're cotton.
I was going to say that in corn, sweet corn. But this year I hear it was warming, so maybe not so good. So.
I make a motion to approve the two JOC contracts listed above and authorize the chairman or vice chairman to sign the contracts.
I second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No opposition? Motion approved. We'll get those JOC contracts signed. Thank you, Sharon, for your work on that too. And thank you for our meeting today.
Yeah, I looked at the agenda and I went, what?
Okay, at this point, we'd like to identify any potential items for the next scheduled board meeting.
Unless, if we're going to do special on the Astera, then I guess that doesn't need to be there. If we'll do a special.
And I guess, would we have to have a special meeting for Astera?
Only if somebody disagrees with it. I mean.
Yeah, we authorized the funding, so we'll just get the information together, get it to everybody.
About it, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Timing wise.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I propose that I'll get a meeting with Astera, with him personally, so we can ask any questions we need to ask. And I'll make a list of some of the questions I have. And anyone else on the board that would like to participate, I'll make sure you have a meeting invite for it.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate that, George.
Yep.
All right, you know how it works. If there are any additional topics or for the next board meeting, Larry, has it been working getting it out to you the Friday before?
Friday works.
Okay, Friday works, gives Larry plenty of time to
hopefully, if we can get it.
Well, and his admin.
Posted in time.
Thank you, Becky, for assisting. And maybe we'll give you a pay increase next year. Oh, that's right, you're not a paid member either. So, okay, very good. So I guess at this point I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
A motion.
We have a second. All in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed to adjourning? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.